You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on your own? I wonder where you are and live with all your faults. I wanna wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all. So why don't you cry?
Alright, it's 9:07. I don't know what happened to that. Joining me from, I think, Joint Base Lewis McChord, but I don't really know, is Lee Tuttle. Lee, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
All right. First of all, what kind of music do you like? Are you a country music girl? First of all, where are you from originally?
I am originally from Westchester, Pennsylvania. So about like 20 miles outside of Philadelphia.
Really? Westchester? Is that like rural country, like Amish people and things like that, or what?
No, it's not at all. Not at all.
Oh, so it's big city, Philadelphia? Would you point to the map and say, I'm from Philly?
I mean, you could, yeah, I would say it's a suburb of Philly, yeah.
Right.
You can hop on the train and get to Philly pretty quickly.
Do they have good mass transit there? Would you like Philadelphia? It has such a lousy reputation as a city. You have to admit that.
So I love Philly.
Really?
And the reason I love Philly is because I feel like Philly actually has, like, culture. And, like, you know, New York, what is New York? Like, what is New York famous for?
Where do you want me to start?
I mean, like, what is, like...
Where would you like to go?
Significance, like, you know, Philly, we have rude, loud people and really fun sports fans. Like, what do you have, New York?
They have a lot of the same. They have rude people and they have good sports teams. And probably better sports teams than Philly does on most years. Although, you know, the Phillies have enjoyed a little bit of a run here recently. So
they were pretty bad last year, though.
Yeah. All right, but they have Bryce Harper now and his hair, so that's everybody's got to be fired up about that.
I think people are excited about that one.
So
yeah, but speaking of Amish country, we're actually going back to the East Coast in 2 weeks, and my husband and I are going on a retreat with Operation Healing Force, and the retreat is in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is Amish country.
Yes, I know. I watched the movie. Harrison Ford was in it. Witness.
I've never seen that.
Oh my God! You
I
need to watch
it before
yes.
I go. Huh?
You should. You'll learn about the Amish.
That's the one about the murder.
Yeah.
Right. The murder mystery. Okay.
I think so. Yeah, and he goes to hide there, right? Because you get shot.
I don't know.
I think that's what he does. He goes where can I hide? Where can I hide? And he's stumbling, and then he winds up in Amish country with Kelly McGillis. Yeah.
From Top Gun.
Exactly, wearing her burka. So, you might want to, so you could be like me, culturally sensitive. You should probably watch that movie.
Well, we're going to, I guess one night we're going to have dinner at a Amish family's home.
Oh, is this an Amish event? Do they put it on? What the hell?
No, but I think it's very interesting that we're doing this because, you know, obviously this is a military organization that is, you know, putting this event on, but the Amish are very, you know, like anti-military, anti-war. There's a restaurant actually in Lancaster, when I was in high school anyway, was this the place that like we would like, you know, skip, you know, first through fourth period and drive to Lancaster and go to this Amish buffet. It was the weirdest thing. That's just what people did. And there was a sign that said, you know, we refuse, you know, service to anyone in military uniform.
They did?
Yeah.
How dare they?
Very interesting, though, huh?
Yeah, now the military is fully embracing its Amish roots, which don't go very deep. What, you cut school? You cut, like, first through fourth periods?
Did you ever do that?
No, did you have parents?
Yeah.
Were you, like, in an orphanage? Or, like, because I know orphans do shit like that, but I didn't know, like, real people. Like, yeah, let's blow off. Like, didn't the school call home and say, Lee's not here, and we haven't gotten...
I had, by that point, gotten into college. I just, you know...
Oh, really?
Was checked out. I had my senioritis. What's that they call it? Senioritis.
Is that what it is?
And we were really cool.
I went to a public... I didn't go to a public school. I went to an all-boys Catholic school. And
were
like...
so fancy.
Exactly. No, I don't know about that. But we were expected to, like, be there on time. And if you didn't, like, shit was going to roll downhill. So I didn't grow up in, like, a permissive...
I was able to talk my way out of it pretty well.
Wow. All right. Speaking of talking... first of all, congratulations on being one of the military spouses of the year for Armed Forces Insurance. Did I get that right?
Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much.
So is there a monetary stipend that goes with that? Is there a big, gala that you attend? What's the deal?
So there is, it's actually happening this week. There's, an event they put on in Washington, D.C. They call it the Town Hall. They have speakers, and then there's an awards dinner as well, but I am not attending.
Oh.
I know, it stinks, but, I mean, my husband has his inventories this week, so his schedule is just, non-existent per usual, and I really didn't want to fly across the country with the kids alone.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's not something that most people like to do. What
about... my kids are 5 and 3. Six hours on a plane alone. No, thank you.
Yeah, that's a rough one. Even with well-behaved... Are your kids well-behaved? Or are you one of those parents that, like, goes, oh, I'm sorry, he's just really active and he's running around acting like a kook?
My kids are well-behaved.
They are?
Yeah. Right. But, I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, 3 years old... I get, antsy sitting on a plane for 6 hours.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
You know, when we moved back from Japan, my son was 2, and that was an interesting flight.
Are you sure you control that house? Because it doesn't sound like it.
Hold on. Do you hear this? Hold on. Give me 1 second. My daughter's speaking up. Do you hear this? Just when I was saying how wonderful they are.
I know, there's dogs, I can hear kids screaming, and now I expect you to go be a disciplinarian. What is going on back here? If this doesn't stop, you know what's going to happen.
What happens?
Trust me, I can't say it on the air. People would go, oh, Mac, you don't do that. Like, oh, yes, I do. Yeah, why else do you think when I say stop it, they stop? Because we have a little gentle conversation about their feelings? No. Yeah, if you ever need parenting advice, I'm your guy. You wanna raise good kids? Call me. I do that, and I'm an awesome labor coach. If you ever go into labor again, and you don't have a coach, yeah, like, hey, McNamara does this. Let me call him.
What is a labor coach?
Don't worry about it. If you have to ask, you don't know. It's like the husband's role. He's the coach.
No, I wanted him to just not say anything.
Oh, is that what was his role then?
A coach? Just stand there.
Just stand there?
Yes.
Really? All right. Well, that means you're a little bit old-fashioned. Are you sure you're not Amish? Did they give you, like, a piece of wood or a piece of leather to put in your teeth and you just, like, snarled the baby out?
No, I took all the drugs.
You did?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right.
Yeah.
How were your birthing experiences? Did they vary by geography? Because
oh my God.
Because a lot of times they're different, right? Depending on where you're at and what kind of facility they have and how mature it is. How would you rate yours?
So I had my son in Okinawa, so that's a naval hospital. And I was lucky because I was in, like, the brand new naval hospital. It's been open for, like, a year.
Nice.
So it was really nice. But it was definitely an interesting experience, having him in a military hospital. Because you have, 18, 19-year-old, Navy corpsman. Like, I guarantee you this guy didn't join the Navy to learn how to swaddle babies. but he was an excellent swaddler.
He was? You had a, they're clueless, right? They're just young. They're learning. They're learning. God bless them. They're learning. But, as Lee said, my father-in-law was a doctor. He was an Army doctor, and he told me that. He said, hey, I just want to warn you. You've got to go to those docs because you're active duty, but you got to take out a little bit of a family insurance policy because, you know, being a doc takes a lot of time. You got to do a lot of cases before you're good at this, and most of the people that you're going to deal with are going to be relatively juniors, so they're kind of apprentices. So, and when something serious happens, you know, if you have a little bit of an insurance policy, that you have some options. So, yeah, right. A lot of novices. And then what about your daughter? Where was she born?
She was in Alexandria, Louisiana, because back to what you had just said, I did not want to have her in a military facility. And Fort Polk, they don't have the best reputation there. They don't have a NICU. So
you had her
45 minutes in labor to, well, I didn't drive, my husband did, to this hospital in Louisiana.
Was it an indoor facility? Was it?
Do they not? Do they have outdoor hospitals?
In Louisiana? Of course they do. They don't
I've
know.
Never saw one.
They don't know it, but they do. Come on in.
Hilarious.
So... Well, that's good. So what was that like? Well, the civilian hospital, that should have been good, yay?
No, it was really good, and I had a really, really nice experience there.
All right, so you've had two good experiences. Well, that's good. All right.
Yeah.
How long are you like, in labor for long periods of time?
So with my son, I was. So it was, like, a 23-hour
journey. Whoa! How would you describe that?
Oh, my God, hellacious.
Now, did you think that this was, while you were in labor for 23 hours, did you think, I knew I should have skipped first through fourth periods all those times when I was a senior?
Okay, I didn't do it that many times. Maybe like 3 times.
So you didn't think that was divine retribution for you being a bad kid?
No? I was an excellent kid.
All right, well, you might want to think about it next time.
Next time I skip high school? Okay.
Exactly. All right, so you're actually here to talk about the base housing issue. We met you when that came up via Alex Hollings. And so Lee has been somebody that's active in this whole fight. I have some specific questions for you, but why don't you bring us up to date? So for people that have kind of loosely followed the issue when it was on TV, and it's fallen off TV here a little bit, generally, where is this issue? And then talk to us about it generally, and then talk to us about your specific issue. Where is that? So bring us up to date.
So generally, this is happening everywhere. I have not heard of any base, CONUS or OCONUS, that is immune from having housing issues, whatsoever. So, you know, these three hearings occurred, and, you know, a lot of placating, a lot of, like, grandstanding. You know, you could see a few politicians definitely had a grasp of what was occurring and how these companies are negligent. But a lot of them, I don't think, are truly understanding the scope of this issue. And I just saw last night, Secretary of the Army Esper was doing a little interview, and they asked him about base housing. And he said that, you know, we've done 100%, inspection of all of our houses, and we have decreased the, work order numbers by, like exponentially. But with this, I mean, what is a housing inspection done by soldiers? You know, if my husband were to walk into a house, would he know what to look for and what to inspect for?
He's a soldier. Of course not.
Right,
now, if he was a Marine, he would know. He would walk in and say,
the Marines did it too.
Oh, let's not go there, girlfriend. So Okay, that's still to me surprising because.
Well, yeah, and you know, talking about work orders, how the decrease in the number of open work orders. Well, that can that could mean anything. These companies can close a work order by just doing a Band-Aid fix. Now, I have a friend who's in Fort Meade, Maryland, and they had a gas leak, and it turns out, they pulled the stove out, and it had been attached with just electrical tape, like the gas hose.
Right, and somebody on active duty would look at that and say, oh, based on my substantial construction experience, that looks all right.
But they wouldn't even see it, though, right? They're not going in there and, looking at gas connections and opening up air ducts. They weren't doing any of that.
Okay. So that's not going very well. So we
I
have.
Mean, they say it is.
Well, so we have the public statements, right, that we knew were going to happen, saying that we're working on this and we're going to get everybody to where they need to be. And then when you start flipping over just a couple rocks, you find disturbing stuff. So that's where we're at with that.
Right.
Yes.
But even with them doing those inspections, I would like to know what were your findings. In your 100% housing inspection that you did internally, what did you find?
So is that information forthcoming? Where is that information?
I have no idea.
Okay. Okay. So that's one area. So how about another part of this question? Have most houses got to something that we would call healthy housing and out of problematic housing? Do you have any sense of that generally?
Generally of what is considered healthy?
Well, no. Let me ask you about – should I ask you about Joint Base Lewis-McChord, or will I get you blacklisted if I ask you to speak specifically?
Oh, you can ask me to speak specifically.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So specifically, mm-hmm. where you live, do you believe that most families that have been having issues are now in housing that they find acceptable, or is that still an issue?
Oh, it's definitely still an issue. I mean, but the thing is that we also need people who are having these issues to come forward.
Yes.
And some of them, I know specifically a woman who has cancer and is living in a home with mold. And she has told housing repeatedly. They call it mildew and clean it with bleach, which we all know you shouldn't be doing.
Right.
But, she won't go forward with it. She won't tell, Commander anything about it.
Right. Okay, next question. One of the issues that gets brought up is this, which confounds me completely, is that base commanders have some form of identity crisis in that they're not sure if they are the advocate of the service member or kind of a judge that sits in between or actually a partner with the private housing provider. To me, it's a no-brainer, right? The service family, right, is their responsibility. Everything else is a different relationship. Is it your experience that base commanders understand that, or do families still feel like we're not really comfortable because we don't really feel like they have our back, like they're our advocates that we go to meetings and they're telling us, hey, you tell us and I will get the white hot spotlight and I will look at this stuff. My staff is committed to this. Where is that issue?
I think, it does vary from base to base, but I think that they're probably just as confused. I mean, this has, for so many years, just not been anything that people are concerned about, which shows to me all the power was given to these companies. And for so long, they were hands-off, and now they have to be hands-on. I think that they are also confused. But you got to think that when they are going around doing these, at least at JBLM,
right,
they were going around with housing.
So they're getting it explained to them why this is has to be the way it is by housing it. And there is no, for instance, and I'm going to ask you this here in a second, but there is no like independent contractor that, you know, we're going and looking and I'm taking notes and I'm with that guy.
No. Okay.
But my point in asking that is, do most families feel, and I know you said it varies, that the base commander is on my side? I know that guy or that woman is on my side because of the way they articulate all that. Would you say with the people that you're in touch with, do they feel that? Is it a mixed bag?
I don't think that they feel like that.
So you're not even going to tell me it's a mixed bag?
I mean...
You know, I just want to point that out.
I really don't think so. I don't think that people feel, you know, completely supported.
Okay.
And why, I mean, we can say this because we know from those hearings that that was a big issue that was talked about.
Right. I thought what I maybe hoped that you would say is, well, there's been a big movement in that. In that there's been meetings that have gone on around the country and internationally on bases overseas that have said in no uncertain terms, I am your advocate. I don't have another, you know, I bless off on a bonus, yes, but my number one job is you and making sure you're getting what you require. I don't have another.
I'm sure they all say that.
But people don't.
Sure, they say that, but I mean, actions speak louder than words, and I think when push comes to shove, they're, you know, not really showing us that.
Okay. All right. There's been discussions about an independent kind of contractor that would be hired by the base commander that would go through with a punch list before somebody moved in. So the punch list is provided by the housing provider. These are all the repairs that have been done to this home, and that the independent contractor would go through. It would look at repairs done, right? It would test the water. It would test the air, and that contractor would either proclaim this structure is suitable for habitation, or they would say, sorry, it doesn't meet, you know, the standards that have been set forth by the DOD. Has there been any progress to that? Have you seen, is there any House committee, Senate committee taking that up? Or are we going to expect that the housing providers kind of police themselves yet again? Uh-oh. Hello?
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
You unmuted your phone.
That is something that needs to be put into legislation. Absolutely.
And
I know that Congressman Panetta sent a letter to all the secretaries asking them to do that. There have been multiple, you know, legislation put forward so far. And I have seen that some are asking for the work order history on these homes to be made available to the tenant. But I have not seen anywhere that states a thorough inspection of these homes to be done, including water testing and air quality testing.
Now, is that me being stupid, or does that sound like, given the problems that have gone with some of these homes, that there would be, you know, if it's a quote-unquote legacy home that you Army people have, right, because it's like 200 years old and they don't want to rip it down at Fort Benning, right, that if you have a legacy home, it gets tested for lead paint every time we turn this thing over. And so we can assure you that everything, every mitigation program that's been, you know, created is in effect, and this house doesn't, I mean, is,
yep.
That seems
that,
to be.
I mean, it seems like that would be a no-brainer,
right? But it costs money to do.
Exactly. It costs money to do. And well, that's what these companies do not want to do.
Got it. So the bottom line is Representative Panetta has put that language in some form of letter to the committee chairs. And so,
no, he's put it to Secretary Esper, Secretary Spencer, and Secretary Wilson.
Got it. All right, so it's gone to the secretaries. Now, okay, so a lot of sideways movement on this. How about discussion about compensation and medical care for those people that – so compensation for people that are paid out of pocket for this kind of stuff and medical care for people going forward that will have respiratory issues their whole life, some family members that have been harmed by lead paint for the rest of their life. Has there been any discussion of that?
So I have not seen anything put forward by any branch in terms of compensation for families that have, you know, out-of-pocket expenses due to these living situations. I know that they have mentioned it, you know, publicly in these hearings that they're working on it. So perhaps they are. The Army just recently created a health registry for people who have been affected by base housing. And what they will be doing with that information hasn't been made clear. I put my kids on there, and what is supposed to happen now is someone from the Army's public health division will be calling me.
Got it.
So we'll see what happens with that.
So a registry created, but nothing beyond that. How about, all right, so every question I've asked you, we've gone sideways on with you not sounding enthusiastic about any of them. With you not sounding enthusiastic, is that me listening wrong, or would that be a correct assessment?
I think that's a correct assessment.
Okay. When is the next hearing?
So I heard chatter that it will be in June. So, I mean, they don't really publicly announce them until about, like, 2 weeks prior.
Okay. And
so we just have to keep watching.
Got it. And so who's going to hold the hearing, and is there a subject of it yet?
I believe it will be the Senate Armed Services Committee.
Ooh. That's a good one, because that one gets on TV big time.
Yes, it is a good one. And, I mean, this, like you said earlier, has kind of fallen off of the media a bit. So I'm hoping that this will kind of give it another boost again.
Got it. All right. Well, it needs a boost because unless, you know, we want to see this redone. And, again, if you want to watch something interesting, right, and you follow this issue just a little bit, there's a woman by the name of Shelley Federico. And CNN does a report. In fact, it's on All Marine Radio. So if you go to the incredible All Marine Radio website and you type in the name on the podcast page, if you type in, probably Shelley will get you there, but let me just test it out here. I think I spelled Shelley right. Oh, no result found. Oops. Federico. Oh, anyway, I'll find it. I put the link in the story. And the reason I say to watch the CNN report, Anyway, it's crazy. It's got the guy who's still the head guy at Lincoln Military Housing in it, and it's got Senator Mark Warner in it, I think, and I think it's got Tim Kaine in it, too. And it's done in 2012, so it's done 7 years ago. And they say almost the exact same thing. The guy from Lincoln Military Housing says verbatim the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's insane. It's literally just a cyclical thing that's happening.
Right, when it pops up. And so the key thing, if you're a private housing provider, is A, maintain my profit margin. And the way I'm going to do this is I have to make sure that they don't put anything additional, right, on my plate that is going to cost me money.
Oh, and, yeah. And how do they fight that? They have tons. They have, I mean, they're spending a, you know, huge amount of money on lobbyists.
Well, hello. And so they pressure and they contribute to campaigns and all the things,
yep,
all the things big companies do.
Yeah.
And in order to maintain these contracts. And so, but if you watch, my point is, watch the, and just in the search block, put in base housing and you'll see a story that comes up that says, in the picture it says, this CNN report was done in 2012. The headline of the story is, listen to this 2012 CNN report about mold in base housing, colon, Senator Mark Warren, what the hell, exclamation mark, question mark. I wrote that just so everybody knows. That's where the sarcasm comes from. But so what you read, you see the story about this woman, Shelley Federico, and in at Naval Station Norfolk in Virginia, and she has this mold issue, and they paint it, they bleach it, all the stuff Lee's talking about, and it's 7 years ago, and then they're left to their own devices, and nothing changes, and then they interview a woman who was in charge of maintenance at the Naval Air Station or the Naval Station, and except she got fired, and they said, well, why did you get fired? She said, well, I was solving these maintenance problems, but in order to do that, I had to spend money. And so I went over my maintenance account, and so they fired me.
Like, yep.
Stop
it.
Exactly. So this is a system that is in place, and that is they police themselves. And if there's no oversight done, which is the things we're talking about, then you get what you get, which is a complete reenactment of this event that happened in 2012. And if you follow these stories, they go back longer and longer and longer. And so, Lee, I want to ask you now about your own personal, you know, stuff. Are you guys seeking legal recourse? Are you guys, because that's not an easy road to go down. What are you guys going to do relative to the way you've been impacted? Can you talk about that?
So I have an attorney.
Right.
He's an excellent attorney. He's a Marine, he's a helicopter pilot, served in Vietnam, and he's also a Gold Star father. And I met him through an event at the Naval Postgraduate School, and him and his daughter came out to speak on behalf of the Special Forces Charitable Trust.
Mm-hmm.
So we, became friends, and when Reuters approached me about, you know, going public with our story, I sent him an email and I just said, hey, just love some, you know, advice. And, you know, do you think I should do this? And he's like, well, I had no idea this was happening. So I sent him the first Reuters story that featured a family from Fort Benning, Georgia, whose son, had been diagnosed with lead poisoning and developmental delays due to their home that they lived in. They lived in a historic home in Fort Benning. So after that, he was immediately like, well, first off, yes, you absolutely need to, speak with them. And I would love to help you with this in any way possible.
So is that going forward now?
So we are still, I guess, figuring everything out and, you know, gathering all of my information.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. What about, there's a social media component in all of this, and
mm-hmm.
And so are people organized well enough? Is it – because most of the time these issues break down. Like there's – and the danger of it is there's this grand initial burst of energy, right? And then as time goes by, as people – you know, get a little bit further away from what's going on, then the kind of steam goes out of the balloon, and then this thing breaks up into small groups, and then which aren't truly effective, or not very effective. I won't say truly effective, but how is this following similar tracks? How is it going as a group and a social media thing? which is a big deal.
So I would say not all that well. But I think that, you know, perhaps I just have a different view. You know, a lot of, there's now have, I guess, three nonprofits that have formed in regards to military housing. And my goal in this is not to have a nonprofit. It's not to, you know, get myself a job by creating a nonprofit. I think that when you have a nonprofit, you go from telling your story to selling your story. And I don't want anyone else to tell my story. I want to speak my story on my own. And there's, I mean, hundreds of, if not thousands of nonprofits that are military affiliated. Do we need three more?
Evidently, yes. Somebody thinks it's a good idea. What about all the different organizations that already exist out there? Are they, is there anybody that's the central focal point of this, or are they caught in the same conundrum of, hey, those are powerful companies, I don't really want to take them on, I might harm my nonprofit organization, I've got to walk some kind of middle ground? Is there somebody that's taken a lead on this, or is it, you know, is it groups of people around the country that take up this fight kind of locally with no main kind of national organization that embraces kind of like this whole movement, gives attention to it and is supportive of different efforts to really push along the same line? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so there are organizations that are already, you know, very well established, that if families who are, you know, really going through the situation and, you know, need some financial support for, you know, medical appointments, for, you know, moving, for, you know, new mattresses, things of that nature,
right,
that they can turn to. I know specifically if you're in the SOC community, the Special Forces Charitable Trust has helped families. The Green Beret Foundation has said they will. Army Emergency Relief Service, the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society,
right,
you know, for things of that nature. But have they taken, you know, a hard, you know, public stance against these companies? No. And as a matter of fact, the Association of the United States Army has Corbius as a member, and they sponsor events for them.
And that's a big deal because, what is it, AU Association, AUSA, right?
Uh-huh.
That's, yep, that's a big deal. They have big events, and and you can see the problem of money. I mean, it seeps everywhere, and it doesn't tend to do good things.
No, it doesn't. I mean, if they're already in there and so powerful with that organization, I mean, what is the hope for Army families?
Yeah, it's the lament of, like, the little man everywhere, the little woman everywhere, the little family everywhere, is that when they roll in with their lobbying money and their political contributions, what chance do I have to get heard?
Exactly. Yeah. If you were, you know, a paying member of the, you know, Association of the United States Army, what do you think, they're going to have a hard stance against the, you know, abuses of these companies? I don't think so.
Right. So how does, okay, so.
But I will never join an organization now that I know this.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, take that.
Yeah. What about, my, you know,
what about
$8 a month or whatever.
There you go.
You would make me pay.
So if you were somebody that was listening to this and you've struggled with this issue, you've been involved in it now for a while since your family's been affected. What advice would you give to somebody in terms of where to seek recourse and how to become active, what to do? So you've been listening. So somebody fictitiously, or mm-hmm, not so fictitiously, is listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
And what advice would you give them in terms of, is it okay for me to make noise, or is my husband going to be punished? So I want you to talk to that. So, and where should I go? Should I go to the base command if I have problems and they're not being resolved? What are your advice on those two issues?
My advice would be as loud as possible and bring your issues to base command and see what their reaction is. And if it is not helpful, then call the local media, get on, you know, Twitter, tweet it out, call your local congressman. But really, I think that this needs, the more this is in the media, the better this will be.
So
this has, like we had just discussed, comes up, you know, I was talking to a reporter a few weeks ago who reported on Fort Meade in 2002. And she told me the story got too big for me. And she was writing for the Baltimore Sun. And she was discussing Corvius and the state of the homes on Fort Meade. And she said that the day one of her really negative articles dropped, two Army public affairs officers and the spokesman for, it was called Pristern Military Housing at the time, showed up at her office and, like, demanded she be fired. When they said no, they demanded that she be transferred somewhere else, and they said no. But eventually she, she said that the story did get too big for her, and she, you know, had to stop.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So when you say too big, what does that really mean?
I think just the amount of people involved in this and the shady politics of it just the way that these companies are involved with the politics, with even, you know, how they're getting away with kind of skirting some of even like the EPA laws and things.
You know, and again, when I'm sure people listening to the story, they're thinking, wait a minute, this is a no-brainer, right? This is easy. These are the people that serve our country, right? The housing's supposed to be decent, supposed to be good. And so when they bring an issue up, shouldn't we all be on the same side? And what you're telling me is, well, we're all not on the same side, that there's a contract here, and preserving the money is important for the contractor, obviously, because this is a profit venture. So how do they do that? How do they contribute to Congress so they can call in favors? Jack Reed has been written about, Senate Minority Leader, on the House Arms, on the Senate Armed Service Committee, has been been written about repeatedly about taking money from.
Yep.
Is it Corvus?
Yep. Corvia. Yeah. So Corvia. John Pistern, who's the founder. Yeah.
All right. Yep. And you read about that all the time, yet, you know, Reed stands up there and is like, oh, I don't think there's anything inappropriate with my relationship. And the fact that this committee, you know, is responsible for overseeing that. No, there's nothing wrong with that. That's how the game gets played. And you watch it and you come to the conclusion of, 2012, and now 2019, it doesn't change. They're incapable of policing themselves. Okay, so give that person advice. So your advice is save everything all your correspondence, all the documents, and don't be afraid to go to the media, because the media is your friend?
I think the media is absolutely the best friend we have in this right now.
Well,
because, like I said, you know, there are people who are fearing the retribution, and I just think that that does show, like, why do we even have to say that? Because it's happening. So I just wanted to read you a little blurb from this. There's kind of like a local newspaper, or I don't even know if it's in print or not, but from Providence, Rhode Island, and they have written quite a few articles about John Pistern since all of this kind of kicked into gear. So let me just read you this.
Sure.
Senator Jack Reed has received $21,375 to his campaign account and his political action committee. Rhode Island Congressman Jim Levin has received $18,400 from Pistern. U.S. Congressman David Cicilline has received $10,300. U.S. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse has received 9,800. Former Congressman Patrick Kennedy received 25,000. And the late John Chafee received 750, but prior to Pisern entering the military housing market. Rhode Island state officials have received substantial donations. The Rhode Island Democratic State Committee has received $47,000, and Governor Gina Raimondo has received $8,000 in donations.
Those are all specific donations to politicians that in some way, shape, or form will play some role in how this thing goes.
I would say so. I mean, Jim Langvin, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correct, is still in. And obviously Senator Jack Reed. So, yeah. I mean, I was pulling up their lobbying reports, Cordes' lobbying reports, and, you know, they're already on the Hill working the lobbying, I would assume, presumably against the legislation that has already been drafted. But, you know, it's interesting because I, you know, pulled them up from a few years ago, and Pisterns will say specifically what bills they're working on. And there was one that was a little blurb. It was amending a bill that said essentially all contractors that are on bases need to be certified to meet all local, national, and state, you know, standards. And they wanted to amend this to say, but at the Secretary, you know, of Defense's discretion.
Ugh.
Yeah. It didn't pass, but like that's to the, and guess who had put that amendment for us? Is this Jim Langvin from Rhode Island? Why the hell does he care? He's in Rhode Island.
Well, they have like 50 people that are on active duty in Rhode Island. I mean, it's like Rhode Island fits inside of Camp Pendleton, for God's sake. It's ridiculous. But why? Because he's been bought. That's why.
And exactly.
So.
Yeah.
You know what? And this is like, I got a couple emails I need to read, but this is our political system. This is how it works. Except it's not supposed to work like this for the people that serve the country. They're supposed to get taken care of. Question. Mac, I have a question. First of all, this is so frustrating to me because, as you insinuated earlier, a lot of this stuff seems to me to be no-brainers. So how does a family know that a home is safe to move into if these things aren't done?
I would say that I would hope that we as, you know, renters have a right to see past work history, right?
Right.
But apparently that's not the case. So
you don't have a right to look at the history of the home?
No, and people have asked for that, you know.
Come on.
This is all anecdotal, but yeah, they are told no, we don't have to provide that.
Okay. All right, so that's when we're talking about a Bill of Rights for military housing for military families. That might be something that you might be able to look at.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So the bottom line, though, if I move into that house and I can't see the history, I have to trust you, or that it is safe, or I have to hire somebody at my own cost to test, to inspect the home, to test the water and the air, and that's how I know it's safe. That's the only way I would know, yes?
I would say yes, but again, you know, there are instances where I'm hearing that these companies will not allow that to happen. They will not even allow a resident to pay on their own to have, you know, someone come out and test for air.
Did somebody just drop us in the middle of Russia or China? What happened?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just outrageous, right?
How do they?
So like when I lived in Fort Polk and I was going through all these issues, right, I called a home inspector and I was telling him about the situation, and he said, well, you know, I used to work, you know, doing maintenance up there in Fort Polk, and, you know, those homes are not, you know, built, you know, efficiently or to standard. And I said, okay, well, can you come on here and do, you know, give me a home inspection? And he said, no. He said, he like hem and hawed about it. He's like, well, maybe I could come at night and do one. Like, I just don't want to get in trouble or, you know, them to come after me. Like, that's how people, even in the local community, feel about these companies. They make all of their workers sign non-disclosure agreements.
Interesting.
So, that's a huge component, right? Like, I would love for one of these, maintenance workers to come forward and be the whistleblower about this, but they all are probably petrified and have signed, you know, these agreements that they won't talk.
I guess you need to find somebody who doesn't do any work on base to say, yeah, I'll come in and take a look at your home. I don't do any work for those people. They can't touch me, so screw them. So interesting. Here's another email. The subject is NDA. Mac, I've heard since the initial hearings that NDAs have morphed into something else. Does Lee have any information about that? So talk about non-disclosure agreements. So, Lee, talk about non-disclosure agreements in general, and then have they morphed?
So in general, this was a pretty, obviously a predatory practice that these companies were all doing for years, it seems. You know, Lincoln Military Housing down at, I believe it was Pendleton, actually, told service members that the SACRA, so that Civil Relief Act that allows them to get their leases doesn't apply to them. And they were then, they settled with that, with Lincoln. But yeah, these have, apparently they've been taken off the table, after these hearings, but they are kind of morphing. Here at JBLM, someone was given a discretionary check form. While it doesn't say, you can't talk about it, like, it's very interesting that they were under discretionary. And then, I guess there have been talks of hold harmless agreements still going out.
Hold harmless agreements. That would be code for?
Code for, say, when I was at Polk, they moved me and my family into a different house and, paid to do that, paid for my movers, paid for, me to have new mattresses and new furniture, what have you. But I would have to sign a form saying that, I could never hold them accountable for, the health implications that my family would be going through.
You know what? It's amazing. I mean, when I see this, this is like an organized criminal conspiracy, you would think. If I wrote this in a book, right, and I simply reassigned some of the things, you would read this and say, well, that's an amazing criminal conspiracy. And you listen to all the different layers of this, and you ask questions like, okay, so where is the federal government presence? And that should be in the form of a base commander who is absolutely your advocate, absent. Where is
what is the accountability? What is the accountability
none.
Plan?
There is
okay,
none.
So you can go slap them on the wrist, like, hey, do better next time. This Mark, we were just talking about Mark Warner. Did you see his little tweets that he put out on April 26th about his latest visit to Norfolk?
No.
So he wrote, to say I'm pissed off is an understatement. I spent most of the day yesterday listening to military families in Norfolk and at Fort Lee who are living in outrageous conditions due to private housing contractors like Lincoln Military, who are frankly not doing their jobs. I heard about mold, so much mold. I heard about asbestos, fires, crab infestations, and worse. Seriously. The way these military families are being treated is just not right, and I'm going to keep fighting until we solve the problem, and not just for a little bit. The thing is, we went through this in 2011 and forced the contractors to make changes, but they didn't follow through. At this point, I'm convinced that the whole system is broken. And then he goes on to say, I've got legislation that will create new accountability measures for contractors and give military families tools for fair treatment. Did you hear that? This is my life.
That's awesome. It's one of the best parts of life. I don't have anybody that does that anymore. Well, they don't ask. They don't talk to me about it. No, but it's like Senator Warner. Like, you've done this before. What about the sixth step in troop leading, which is to supervise this stuff? What about following it up? Come on.
He has legislation, and like I've read through it, but I don't really see the piece that will say, you know, they're talking about incentives and things, but there's no wire that says like we're going to fire you. Why aren't we doing that?
Oh, that. Jeez. Yeah, I don't know. There's no consequences. And again, we all know that if there's no consequences.
Why do they care?
Yeah, if there's no consequences, that's the way to raise lousy kids, if there's no consequences with your kids when they do stupid stuff. I know that because there were consequences. I am Mr. Consequence. The non-disclosure agreement. So again, when you see the different layers of this, right? It's disgusting. Okay, so you have not been very encouraging. Thank you very much. The next thing that we need to watch are possibly hearings in June. And then aside from that, right, Congressman, still?
Right, Congressman. But I also think that, a big factor, and this is what I've been working on, too, is I spoke with the Project on Government Oversight last week, and spoke with a gentleman.
Who is that?
So they are like basically a kind of like an oversight, kind of like watchdog, bipartisan. Let me pull up their website. And they are awesome, though. But they have a section called the revolving door that shows all the DOD and
what? Wait, what's the name of the website? Project Core.
So it's POGO, POGO.org. They are the Project and Government Oversight, and they have a whole defense section. And I emailed them and kind of told them about my situation and what I'm hoping to do. And I had a call last week with someone from their organization who used to write for Time magazine for over 10 years. So he said, please send me, three topics that you think need to be explored more. He's like, I want a different angle on this. And so I'm hoping that they pick this up. But I think using organizations like this are great for people to reach out to.
So POGO or other organizations. Okay, so whatever they send you back and whoever you want them people to contact, will you provide that to me so I can disseminate?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All
right. Yeah, because I think, at this point, we have seen this in the media so many times. Like, right. I'm not even really convinced that Congress is taking a very, very hard stance on this. And I'm hoping that the more issues that are brought to light from this and, the corruption of it, then maybe we need the American public to be outraged is what we need. And the more this kind of dies off the media, the less likely that will happen.
So if it's not going to run the way it's run, happened in 2002, and every time it comes up, and so put yourself in a senator or a congressman position. So I've got this guy who's donated money to me. He's in the news again. I've got to carry his water. So this is going to blow up. Media's going to be on me. I just need to keep my mouth shut, low profile, until it kind of blows over, and then I'm going to yell at him, hey, man, you guys got to put an end to this stuff. Okay, we'll handle it. And that's how we do it.
Yep.
And it happens over and over and over. But the thing that the Reuters story did was it exposed the health consequences of this relationship. And there, nobody has that right. Okay.
No.
What haven't I been smart enough to ask you, Lee, that you want people to know?
Recently.
Stop. That's a trick question. You're supposed to say nothing, Mac. Are you kidding me?
Well, I could talk about this for days. I mean, so acting secretary Shanna Yen recently told the media that all water on bases is safe to drink. I don't really need to say anything about that.
Was there a rim shot that went through with that? Like a comedy club event.
Ridiculous. Like, we all know.
Did everybody laugh? Like, did he just say that? Like, here's a glass of it. Where's your daughter? Have her suck it down there, stud.
Right, yeah. Like, Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah. Oh, my daughter doesn't drink anything but bottled water. Thank you. Yeah, no,
yeah,
kidding.
She drinks her smart water. But, I mean, we know that that's not the case. And I did want to say this really quick. So, recently, one of my friends, and she was one of my first friends from Okinawa. She was on the team that my husband came into when we first moved over there. She recently moved back to the States. They had been living on Kadena Air Base for 3 years and then 3 years off base. And they have three little girls, just like, you know, fabulous family. So they've PCS to Monterey, and she was recently diagnosed with thyroid cancer, which is, you know, environmental cancer. And she's stage three. They just diagnosed her stage three and has spread to her lymph nodes. And so she's basically, you know, she's going to take the radiation pill and go into like isolation in the next few days. But she reached out to me and said, you know, I know all the work that you're doing with base housing, but I just wanted to let you know. And I wanted to ask about this because my doctor here, so she's seeing, you know, civilian doctors in Monterey, which is so good. My doctor told me that this cancer is, you know, due to something I was exposed to in Japan. And with that, she told me that out of seven of her friends who lived near her on Kadena Air Base in her neighborhood that she keeps in contact with, five have now been diagnosed with cancer, three with thyroid. Yeah. And she said, is anyone tracking this? And I said, I know that they just came out with this base housing registry, but I mean, is that going to, who is really tracking this? I mean, that goes into the system, and will we ever know what they find? Who knows?
Some junior staffer is, right? Tracking the registry.
Who knows?
Yeah. And that ought to make us all feel really good about ourselves.
Yeah, because she was like, is there, you know, anyone tracking this correlation? And, I mean, that's awful. Like, what is going on there? And that's not that much of an isolated incident either. I mean, obviously, Lejeune, what happened there? I mean, it's just, disenchanting.
You and I have talked about this. It's not an isolated event. It keeps happening. And that's the troubling part about the DOD in this stuff, and that is they don't take care of their people, then they turn their back on them financially and says you're going to have and tell them you're going to have to sue us. And so it's that shouldn't happen yet again. Okay.
No, and you know the other thing that like that really pissed me off about this is that they don't tell us what we're exposed to, right? So how beneficial would it be for her to tell her doctor what she was actually exposed to? You know, there's rumors that, you know, there's, you know, Agent Orange buried on, you know, Kadena. But we do know, well, that one thing that happened on Kadena was, you know, when I was living there. So when she was on base there, too, in 2013, some drunk Marine turned on, I guess, whatever that firefighting, like, foam is on the flight line and, like, just let it go. But that foam, we all know, is, like, extremely bad and has, you know, cancer causing chemicals in it, that PFOA and PFOS.
Right. No, it's just, let me read you this email. Mac, is there any good news about this? I was expecting at least a mixed bag, But everything that Lee, and then in parentheses, who's a great guest, by the way, to include the analysis of her labors around the world.
Yeah, you know, I'd be talking about that, thanks.
Is there any part of this that's improved?
Well, I'm hoping that people now are aware that they can speak out about this, and hopefully, you know, I just really hope that families now feel a little bit more comfortable talking about their issues. And I hope that people now are realizing also that, yes, mold makes you sick. Like, you should not be in a house that has mold. Like, your water, if you think that there could be anything wrong with your water, you know, send it in to be tested on your own. Or call DPW, the Department of Public Works, and see if they can test it for you. Like, go to Home Depot if your home was built, you know, before 1978, and buy the $10, you know, lead testing sticks. I think, you know, people learning how to be their own advocates in this is, like, absolutely essential.
And then scream after that.
Yep.
And then scream and go to the media and scream. Because I will tell you, Lee and I have talked about this, the only thing politicians understand, they understand money and they understand publicity. And mm-hmm. and you have to be relentless relative to that. And so, all right. Well, Lee, let me just tell you, we will do this again in the future. Sadly, but it's thank you very much for coming on this morning and continuing to make us smart about the issue. But it's just frustrating because what I hope to hear when I talk to you is that I went to the best meeting. You know, base commander XYZ or a friend of mine just went to a base, you know, meeting, and it's the third time I've read this in the last month or so where that base commander just told them, hey, whatever you need, this is my job. My job is your health and welfare, and I take it very seriously, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, things that you don't hear. That yes, there's in this quote unquote Bill of Rights that was much ballyhooed in one of the first couple hearings is going to be an independent arm of contractors that are hired by the base to inspect a punch list of all the maintenance done, test water and test air. That is simply what people should get when they move into a house. And so, I mean, to me, you know, seeing progress on those is the way that you don't have Mark Warner in 2022 acting indignant again. And,
yeah.
And let me tell you, and he should be one of the people that's all about it because it's his repeated interviews that look so stupid now. He looks like a bozo. All he needs is a red nose clamp to his nose and he could be and a wig and he could be a full fledged bozo because he's not doing what he's supposed to do, which is follow through on these issues to make them go away.
Yeah. I think like my next step in life after all this is over with, if it ever is like, we need term limits. This is part of this whole issue.
How old do you think Nancy Pelosi is?
I don't know.
Yes. Like, 79.
70 something, right?
79. How old do you think Joe Biden is?
Oh, God, I don't know.
76. How old do you think Bernie Sanders is? 77. How old do you think Donald Trump is?
He's like early 70s.
72. He's a spring chicken.
Yeah.
Chuck Schumer, 68. Mitch McConnell, 77. Right? How sharp do you think you're going to be when you're 79?
But also, like, how much money have you over all that time taken from these people?
A lot. Hello?
Yeah, like, of course. A ton.
So, no.
So you're so entrapped, like, that, like, they're almost your boss now.
Almost. They're the people I do business with. I mean, and we hit bumps in the road, and we'll get through this, but it's not like I'm going to, like, throw them to the curb and throw them under the bus or anything like that. Come on. Who does that? Barbarians? Anyway. All right, Lee, thank you very much for doing this, and all the best of luck to you, and whatever we can do to help, yell. And so whatever links you have or whatever we can help you get out there. Please don't hesitate.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much.
There you did. From Joint Base Lewis-McChord, Lee Tuttle, who's been absolutely awesome throughout all of this to us. I mean, just making us smart, and as you can tell, she has a ton of knowledge in it. But I will tell you this, I mean, it's frustrating that the basic things that ought to be done don't get done. And then you look at the news reporting, and it's the same stupid story over and over and over and over, right? I mean, literally, if you... If you listen, and I'll play it tomorrow. I'll play that CNN report tomorrow, and you can hear it. It's only about 11 minutes. It's a joke. It's an absolute positive joke when you hear it. Because it's the same crap that gets rolled out every time this happens. And it's disturbing that again, we've been at war most of this time. The entire time that Lee's husband has been in the United States Army, the nation's been at war. And you would think that when senators, congressmen see this stuff, they're like, oh, hell no. We need to fix this now. So why isn't it getting fixed? The other issue that really pisses me off on a personal note is why... Is it so hard for a base commander to figure out who the hell they represent? And for people to walk out of a meeting saying, wow, that was cool. That guy, that girl, you know, they're on my side. This is awesome. Why is that so hard? I don't get it. Alright. This irritates me, honestly. And there's real people that are really getting sick, too. Oh, by the way. So on that note, don't touch that dial. You got to hear about my weekend. My yard work. Why I feel good about myself today. Yeah. So you got to hear about that. Also, I love the fact that the president, you know... Let's burn it down on China. I got no issues with that, man. Don't buy Chinese. There you go. And two carriers in the Med. Like, that's big news. But what are we going to do with them? Are we going to lay the wood to the Iranians? Oh, my God. Please do that. We need to do that. But I don't know. We're probably not going to do that. So anyway, now I'm not happy. Lee Tuttle made me not happy. That stuff sucks, man. Alright. Have a great day on a Monday. Almarine Radio. Over and out.